This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. July corn, 473.5, down 3.75. September corn, 472.25, down 3.25. December corn, 472, down 3.75. July soybeans, 1469.75, down 15.5. August soybeans, 1405.25, down 14.5. September soybeans, 1284.75, down 8.5. July wheat, 670.5, down 4. September wheat, 680.5, down 3.25. December wheat, 697, down 2.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Tuesday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon. Technical trading weighed on prices, pushing grains lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 4 cents lower at 443 to 472. Soybean bids were 11 to 15 cents lower at 1441 to 1482. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted corn bids steady to 4 cents lower at 441 to 474. Soybean bids were 15 cents lower at 1462 to 1497. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 4 cents lower at 453 to 487. Soybean bids were 7 to 15 cents lower at $14.70 to $15. Wheat bids were 4 to 5 cents lower at $6.35 to $6.68. Now on to the Illinois soybean processors. Cash soybean bids, they were 16 to 18 cents lower at $14.98 to $15.20, with the basis unchanged to 2 lower at $28 to $50 over the July. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $5.1170 to $5.2870 a ton, and that was down $3.80, with the basis unchanged at $25 to $42 over the July. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 4 cents lower at $4.72 to $4.88, with the basis unchanged at $2 under to $14 over the July. Illinois River Barge Loading and Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 3 to 5 cents lower, 478 to 480, with the basis mixed at 4 to 6 over the July. Soybeans ended 16 cents lower, 1483 to 1488, with the basis steady at 13 to 18 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 4 cents lower, 643 to 646, the basis unchanged at 25 to 28 over the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at $5 to $5.01. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 14 to 15 cents with quotations of $15.06 to $15.16. Soft wheat closed steady to 4 cents lower at $6.08 to $6.86, and Milo ended the day 3 to 4 cents lower at $4.89 to $4.99. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In northern and western Illinois, corn ranged from $4.31 to $4.47, soybeans $11.89 to $12.17. In the central part of the state, corn was $4.32 to $4.52. and soybeans $11.90 to $12.14. In the southern part of the state, corn was $4.40 to $4.52, soybeans $11.94 to $12.25, and soft wheat was $6.35 to $6.61. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Tuesday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 138.75, down 65 cents. August live cattle, 140.10, down 45 cents. October live cattle, 143.75, down 47 cents. May feeder cattle, 189.05, up 57 cents. August feeder cattle, 195.92, down 27 cents. September feeder cattle, 197, down 30 cents. June lean hogs, 118.60, down 77 cents. July lean hogs, 125.17, down 50 cents. August lean hogs, 127.10, up 50 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 20th afternoon livestock report. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 70-73, 4 to 5 weights 74-79, 5 to 6 weights 77-82, and 6 weights and up 80-85. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $75 to $81. Receipts today for Illinois hogs total 13,374 head, and from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 363 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 116.71, and that was 204 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses 230.23, and that was $3.01 higher, with select carcasses at 219.03, and that was $1.49 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000. That compared to 119,000 last week and 126,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 412,000. That compared to 415,000 last week and 415,000 a year ago. Now on to the Arthur Sale Barn weekly hay auction report. They had receipts of 1,695 bales, starting with the alfalfa premium quality small squares. They were $7.85 to $9 a bale. Large squares, good quality, $80 a bale. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality small squares, $4 a bale. Large squares were $34 to $45 a bale. Orchard grass, good quality small squares, $4 to $4.50 a bale. Mixed grass, good quality small squares, $2.25 to $3.75 a bale. Large rounds were 23 to 26 and large squares 23 to 27. Wheat straw, good quality small squares, $3.25 a bale. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.76. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $4.79. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.67. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.70. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.84. June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.82. May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.73. June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.71. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.50. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $4.76, corn at Scottville is $4.67, beans at Greenfield are $14.84, beans at Scottville are $14.73, and wheat at Scottville is $6.50. The House of Representatives passed the Water Resources Reform and Development Act yesterday, which will authorize modernization of the locks and dams on the Mississippi River and harbor projects important to agriculture by a vote of 412 to 4. American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman says WERDA passage has been a priority issue for the American Farm Bureau Federation and its 6 million members who depend on an efficient and reliable inland waterway system linked to competitive ports. Stallman says WERDA will bring $6 billion in total cost savings and important reforms to ensure the reliability and strength of the nation's inland waterways and ports. National Corn Growers Association President Martin Barber says WERDA is crucial to farmers as more than 60% of the nation's grain exports are transported by barge, and this infrastructure must be improved to fuel the domestic economy and improve U.S. agriculture's ability to compete in markets abroad. American Soybean President Ray Gasser says the House has done its part, and now it's on the Senate to get it passed and on the president's desk. Weather changes are causing some interesting market fluctuations. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, went over what we're seeing in the grain markets this week and what we could expect to see in the near future.
Well, this is a trade now in a transition year, trying to determine whether the last of the crops are going to get planted. As we approach the end of May and the forecasts start to peer into the early days of June, the biggest concerns are in the northern belt, the area that has the shortest growing season of all. As we look at the crop data progress for U.S. overall that came out from USDA on Monday, it showed that we're basically on pace or pretty close to it for all the crops. But yet when you look at corn planting progress in Michigan, only 29% of the crop in the ground, 53% of Minnesota, 17% of North Dakota, 36% of Wisconsin. They've got a long ways to go. And we're going to be squeezing the window pretty close with some implications for acreage and for the production overall for the crop to come. Then you weigh that against the fact that the weather pattern overall, though, for the crop that is planted looks pretty favorable. So are we going to be short on acres but then have high yields, or will we get the acres in and have high yields and have a surplus? What's it going to be? And so I think we're going to see some uncertainty in the market. We've taken a lot of premium out of the market in recent days, and we're due for a bounce, and we're starting to see that bounce as a result following USDA's crop progress data that came out Monday afternoon. But I think we need to be cautious about saying that just because we're bouncing, it's going to be sustained. Typically, when you get this first bounce after such a big drop, that bounce is traders are looking to sell that bounce.
The growers are already short on time for planting corn in these northern states. What does that mean for the soybean crop?
Well, and that's why we've seen some of corn and soybeans going in opposite directions at times. Now, on this Tuesday, they're, as we talk, they're both going higher today. But in recent days, when the thinking was, oh, the corn is going to get planted, we saw soybeans going higher because of fear that they were going to lose acres to corn. If the corn doesn't get planted, then that probably means more soybean acres. And here again, both corn and soybeans are in a situation where, depending on the acreage you get in the growing season, we could end up with a big, massive surplus pressuring prices to lower lows for this coming year, or we could end up very tight once again and sending the prices right back up to levels we saw two, three years ago. The odds are right now that the greater risk is to the downside because of a favorable weather pattern, but there's still a lot of unknowns, and traders who understand chart signals better than they do supply and demand fundamentals, frankly, are a little bit confused, but leaning toward the bearish side, even as the prices are higher this morning.
All right, and it is nice to see a nicer weather forecast in the future. I know in northern Illinois we had snow on our corn at the end of last week, and that was not fun. It's rebounded, but that was still not fun to see.
It isn't fun at all, and that just is indicative of the problems we've had with cold soils, particularly north of I-80. For much of the Midwest going across, and it's been very slow to warm up. Finally, we are getting those warm soils. We finish it with the snow, and then we go to warm soils. And the good news is that we are looking at warmer than normal temperatures across many of these areas over the next 2 weeks, between normal and above normal temperatures. We do have a fairly open window for these delayed areas for the rest of this week, but unfortunately the showers come back then for the 6 to 15 day period.
How optimistic are you that there's going to be a lot of planting going in during this week? Do you think that it'll be enough to put some of those northern states back on track a little bit?
Well, if you look at similar years, which our partners at Commodity Weather Group did, where we had similar delays in these areas and a similar type of weather pattern, they found that we still ended up with a loss in acres. So you put it all together, and we're probably going to lose 5 to 10% of the corn acres and spring wheat acres in Minnesota and North Dakota. So far, the trade has basically been saying, oh, if we lose the acres there, we'll probably gain some acres in states like Illinois that have been well in advance of their normal planting pace, at least for the bulk of, for the state as a whole. And so they're not too worried yet at this point. And I think I'd be cautious about reading today's strength, reading into that, that traders are all of a sudden worried about having a short crop this year.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. The Illinois General Assembly doesn't have much time left in session. President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, went over a few changes he expects to see that will affect motorists, starting with the potential for a ban on requiring the amount of tickets police officers need to give out.
Well, we've got 2 weeks left in the General Assembly. Legislature is supposed to be done on May 31st, which is a week from Friday. During that time, of course, we got Memorial Day, so that means we'll have one fewer day in session, maybe. But we got to cram a lot of stuff into a short amount of time. The big thing about this legislature has been that they've been talking about making the temporary income tax permanent. They've talked about doing all sorts of crazy tax ideas. So they've kind of stayed away from any other controversial issues. And from our standpoint, they've stayed away from this whole idea of the motor fuel tax issue. And so we think, well, they aren't going to do that to everybody but when they come back and after the election, that may be a different story. They're dealing with other bills, too, though, that don't have anything to do with taxes. There's a bill out there that's moving really fast. It's amazing how much support this bill has. And it's Senate Bill 3411. Senate Bill 3411 basically says that it would outlaw the requirement that law enforcement officers be required to issue a certain amount of tickets each month. No quota. Law enforcement will tell you, oh, we don't have quotas, but everyone else will tell you, yes, they do have quotas. Many in the law enforcement community say they're opposed to the bill because they feel that quotas do serve as a indicator of performance for a certain officer. So those guys are admitting, yeah, we do quotas. On the other side, you got people who just say, there's no quotas, but officers are expected to be able to, to enforce a law, and there's plenty out there to do. What none of them are saying, though, is the fact that the police, community, they depend on the tickets for money. They need that money to fund their salaries, police cars, everything else, the operations of the police department. So they're going to go out there and they're going to issue citations. But what this bill says is that you are not, there should not be any set quota. So in other words, no hard numbers. You got to come back with, 60 tickets a month or what have you. So, and it's a good bill. Bill passed, flew out of the Senate, and now it's in the House Transportation Committee. They passed it out, and this is, it's been a lot of contention in the legislature this year between the Democrats and Republicans. But this bill, boy, both Democrats and Republicans got on it. They like it.
So. Nobody likes speeding tickets, so I'm sure not allowing there to be a required set amount that you have to give out every year, I'm sure that would garnish some support.
Yeah, that makes everybody happy. Another bill that we're watching is a House Bill 4065. This bill has a life of its own, is the best way to put it. It basically allows any city or municipality to use automatic speed cameras for enforcement. Previously, the bill right now, only the city of Chicago can utilize these cameras. The bill has had a lot of debate in committee. And the bill has been changed many times because of the fact that a lot of people see it only as a money-making scheme for local governments, and that they really don't serve. It's like the red light cameras. This is a speeding camera, and that they see it as a money-making scheme and nothing else. The bill does have some merits, though, is that it does say, they would use them around schools and around parks and things like that. And from a safety standpoint, it probably makes sense. But the fact is that there's a lot of contention about, how far out you put these things. How do you let people know that there are cameras out there? Because that's the big gripe about people with the red light cameras. And that red light cameras cause more accidents because of the fact that people are slamming the brakes on when they get to intersections. This bill, we don't like the bill from the trucking standpoint because the cameras don't take a picture of the front of the vehicle, they take a picture of the back of the vehicle. And that's one of those where, hey, you know, we've got a trailer that we may be pulling for somebody else. And so when the guy who owns the trailer may get the ticket for the speed camera, and he said, I wasn't using that trailer then, so why should I get the ticket? So, I mean, there's a lot of things to be debated out there, and a lot of issues out there. And people just, you know, are saying that, is it government overreaching itself in terms of trying to raise money?
Sounds like fundamentally it would be a good idea. Make sure people are driving at a good slow pace around mm-hmm. schools or parks or anything else where there would be children present. But, yeah, I can understand a lot of the issues floating around with it.
Yeah, and I mean the big thing is that they, you know, it has to, you know, if they, you know, they've amended the bill so many times, and so we'll see what happens. I mean, right now it's fairly innocuous, but it's a bill that a lot of people, you know, just don't like because they've known the experience with the red light cameras, and that the speed cameras maybe fit in that same category. But again, we'll see what happens. The bill may move, may not.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.